Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Gridiron Show. Will Gavin, Ollie Hunter, we're back again, back together at last, although we're not quite together, but we are back. We're back for you guys. The schedule is out, or the schedule, depending on what you call it. We'll talk to Seattle Seahawks Super Bowl winner Cliff Averill about Danger Russ, about the dynasty or the dynasty that never was, and any other news. This is the Gridiron Show. Welcome to the Gridiron Show. Will Gavin, Ollie Hunter. Hey, Willie, you're back.
Hey, big dog, how's it going?
Yeah, all right. Take two was way better than take one, but that's not
saying
much.
Well, I got to tell you, I didn't hear either, so I hope that they were both wonderful.
Yeah, right.
Okay. This happened last time, though. I didn't hear it. I was like, are you sure it recorded? And then later we found out it did, so it's fine.
It's fine, and it recorded. How was New York, buddy?
New York was fantastic. I had a brilliant time. Yeah, it's the longest. I've been to New York a few times now, but normally, previously only for a couple of days here or a few days there as like part of a wider trip. This was a good extended 9-10 days out there for WrestleMania and went to kind of, well, I was out there for 9 nights and I went to 4 wrestling events and then 5 theatre/Broadway related type things with my wife. So it was action packed. It was very busy. We ate a lot of very good food and walked around a lot of very interesting neighborhoods and, you know, had great ramen and had great barbecue and just, you know, soaked up the New York lifestyle. It's a city that I would move to in an absolute heartbeat. But, you know,
which neighborhood?
That's not how these things work, unfortunately.
Which neighborhood kind of goes under the radar that you stumbled into that you really liked?
I really like, so we were staying in Williamsburg in Brooklyn, and that was, you know, real hipstery, but in a very good way.
So
yeah, exactly. I mean, perfect for me. And Brooklyn in general, you know, there was a lot of really nice areas in Brooklyn. It's quite underrated. I think of the boroughs, it would be the place that I would most want to live. But, you know, in terms of Manhattan itself, if you get downtown and you get into like the East Village and Soho and around there, a lot of people complain that it's kind of, you know, it's been gentrified or it's lost its New York soul or whatever. But there's still a lot of original businesses there. Loads of cool little bars and restaurants. And, you know, it's just the sort of place where you can kind of only walk a 5-10 block span in a 3-4 hour period and just keep stopping in places and just, you know, chatting to locals. And I mean, for the wrestling podcast I do, we recorded a podcast in a bar and ended up getting chatting to the staff there on the show just because they were like so friendly and, you know, loads of little New York stories to tell and stuff. So, yeah, I also got to get out to MetLife. Obviously, it was MetLife for the Graps rather than for American football. But we went a couple of days ahead of the event and got to go meet up with the CEO of MetLife Stadium and doing a bit of a piece with him and about what it takes to put on a big event like that. And it's a really, really impressive facility, especially considering that, you know, a 10-year-old stadium is old now for the NFL. When you think about what's going on in LA and Vegas and San Francisco and Minnesota and Atlanta
and North London. You know,
and North London, of course. Yeah. So when you consider all of those things, it's a really, really cool facility, and they kind of approach things in the right way, and it's very much fan experienced focus. I'm a big fan.
Well, I'm glad that you had a great time, buddy. MetLife is
missed you.
Well, I'm not sure
enough to have come into the office, but
it's fine. And I'm not sure you did miss me. Quite frankly, I've been replaced when it comes to your love and your wife's love with Sammy. Sammy! And I don't mind. I don't mind. He's because he's a wonderful man.
Is this it? You believe that you've been replaced now? Have you really taken this to heart?
I'm actually surprised that you and I are still doing a podcast, because I would have thought Sammy would be doing the Gridiron Show from now on. Quite frankly, I did not get any email to go to New York. That's fine. Yet again,
when did you ever think that you would be invited to New York? Why did you think that was a thing?
Well, you know, why do you know what? Everybody here who follows you on Instagram or knew that you were out in New York were like, are you jealous of Will? Why aren't you out there? What's going on? They think you and I are joined at the hip.
Okay, I mean,
sorry, I found it really funny that it wasn't like, oh, how's Will doing? Actually, a lot of people ask that, but it was, why aren't you out there? What's going on? Will goes abroad. Ollie must be there. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel a little bit like that sometimes, but
yeah, I know.
I love you for it.
Me too, bud. Me too. Where do you want to start? Like, there's so much stuff going on.
Well, no, how have you been? You haven't told me how
you've been. Oh, mate, I've finally had my mortgage approved, but it's at the worst time because of Easter, so people have extended time off. Next Tuesday, I'm going in to sign it and then send it off, and then we'll sort out a completion date. So I reckon in about 10 days' time, I should be in my new place. Can't wait!
Love it. But
otherwise, all good. All fine. I just cannot wait to have a base. You know what I mean? I just want to have
a base.
That's
great. Really, that's great.
Thanks.
So in terms of the show, so what we've got to talk about today, we've got to talk about the NFL UK games. We've got to talk about the schedule release a little bit.
Schedule.
And we've got to talk about the draft stuff. So from next week, we'll be getting a lot draft heavier. We'll be doing the guys who do the draft show. We'll be doing defensive minded stuff, and I think some line based stuff as well. I think we're going to do a mock draft, and then Ollie and I will do much more of a team needs type podcast. Yeah. So you can match up what the guys Sherry and Clancy are saying about the players available with what we're saying about what people need and where they'll reach and where they'll hopefully get the right kind, land the right kind of guys that they're looking for. So that's all kind of coming up from next week. So there's not a lot to say about the draft. There was a couple of interesting QB bits. You know, Joe Flacco was interviewed and said it's out of his control if the Broncos choose to draft a quarterback at 10. And interesting to see Dwayne Haskins come out and say that Eli Manning's a legend and he'd have absolutely no problem sitting behind him and learning from him the same way he did with JT Barrett at Ohio State. So those are a couple of interesting wrinkles. And Ezekiel Elliott's option getting picked up by the Cowboys, I mean, that's as expected as it could be. So I think schedule stuff, NFL UK stuff, and Russell Wilson is the only other really big one that we need to talk about, right?
I think so, yeah. Nothing else has happened.
So we've got Cliff Avril coming up on the show in a short while, and they talk about the Russell Wilson and the contract situation. So we'll get into that. Shall we start off with the NFL announcing the schedule for the London Games?
Let's do that. And starts off on week 5, 6th of October, Sunday, the Bears at the Raiders at the new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And the amount of interest just in the office here of people going, can you get me tickets? Do you know how to get tickets? Can you get us tickets to that one particular game? Because it is at Tottenham's new stadium. I would say at least 6 people here have asked me about it, and they're not necessarily NFL fans. It's caused quite a stir, even though everyone knew it was sort of coming.
Look, obviously you are going to get the same little bit of backlash as we got last year from people with the fact that it's a slightly smaller stadium, and these games now do legitimately sell out all 4 games. You know, there was a point a few years ago when they first went to 2 games, 3 games where they would sell out, but there would still be a lot of return tickets coming in available from the teams, and there would still be a bunch of, like, you know, released competition tickets, so they would still be able to get a ticket at a later time, whereas now they are much, much more difficult to get. And whilst we haven't had confirmation about what the capacity will be for the NFL because of the same problems they had last year with the camera positioning and all that nonsense, I think this is only a massive positive. I know we've discussed it quite a few times, but I love the new Tottenham Stadium being an NFL venue. I can't wait to go there for the first game. I think it's exactly the right choice of first game. I don't know if they had the choice, but I can remember when they said what the games were going to be. We went, well, Texans-Jags is definitely going to be at Wembley because the Jags will only play at Wembley. So the obvious choice to me to open up the Tottenham Stadium is Bears-Raiders. Two classic franchises on the 100-year anniversary of the NFL. Two well-supported teams here in the UK. It'll get a real buzz. It's got the storylines to draw in interest from the wider NFL of being the Khalil Mack revenge game. Everything about it, I think, is really positive.
I cannot wait for it. I really can't. I'm kind of torn who I want to win as well, because you know I'm not a big Gruden guy, massive understatement, but also I don't like the Bears. However, Khalil Mack is so watchable, and he was so watchable last season. Just, it's great to think, and of course he's played out in the UK before when he was a Raider. It's great to think that those two storied franchises are going to open up the international series. After that, the week after, the 13th of October, week 6, the Panthers at the Bucks. And I love this. The Panthers haven't been to the UK before. The Bucks obviously have, but the Bucks now have our favourite man, Bruce Arians, as their head coach. So there's an awful lot to like about this matchup at the stadium as well.
And it's sounding like Jameis Winston, while he might not be ready for training camps, should be back this season. The surgery going well, the fact is that I'm not the biggest Jameis Winston guy, but what he is a bold quarterback who keeps his eyes downfield and likes to sling it. And you've got a quarterback guru who loves to play in that style. In theory, it's a match made in heaven or hell, depending on how many turnovers you like and don't like. But I think it will be entertaining either way. I think the Bucks will be the most interesting they've been for years this season. There's a lot to enjoy about that one. I'm considering, so I'm planning to maybe be going out for the opening games this year with Sherry. We're still up in the air over the NFL rights for radio, so whether TalkSport will have the rights or not, we won't know for a short while. But
I need to talk to you about that off air,
yeah,
by the way.
Just, okay.
That reminded me.
I made a mental note.
Yep.
If that is happening, I will go from the Bears-Packers game up to New England for Steelers-Patriots, and we'll do the game from in-stadium. But if I'm not doing that, I'm tempted to head down to Tampa and go to the Bucks 49ers season opener, because actually I think it's going to be a really entertaining game of football. Any chance to see the 49ers, of course. It's a stadium I've not been to before, but outside of that, I just think it'll be really, really good fun with those teams involved. So, again, I'm with you. I like that game. And again, I just want to make one note. I'd like to personally thank the NFL and NFL UK for seemingly answering my silent prayers about the schedule this year.
Schedule. Yeah.
Because I have a wedding the week after the fourth and final game. Mm-hmm. And I have the stag do for said wedding on the weekend of the 19th and 20th of October, which happens to be the NFL UK mini buy, because we're doing 4 in 5 weeks. They're doing 2 weeks, one off, 2 weeks again. And so the stag do, I'm not going to have to come home early from, and the wedding, I'm not going to have to worry about there being an NFL game. So cheers, guys. I know that I probably didn't come into consideration, but I couldn't have been happier when the schedule came out.
The old, I probably didn't come into consideration. There's a tiny, I reckon there's at least 1% of you that thinks, I did come into consideration there. It's classic Triple B. Classic Triple B there. I didn't come into consideration, but I hope I did. you mentioned the mini buy. There is a mini buy. But then, 27th of October, at Wembley Stadium, Bengals and Rams. And then after that, 3rd of November, Houston Texans at the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Lots to like here. Rams went to the Super Bowl. I mean, Bengals, we don't know what they're going to be with their new head coach yet. They might be a disaster class. They might surprise us. There's still some talent on that roster. So they are probably one of the biggest question marks going into the new season. And Texans Jags, I mean, if Foles reuniting with his former OC kind of all comes together and works, then great. And I like Houston again this year with that kind of Hopkins, with the Clowney Watt pairing on the other side of the ball, with, you know, a quarterback we really like in Watson. So there's lots of talent there. These are good games.
Have you seen JJ Watt saying something to the effect of "Get ready, Nando's," or something like that? Why do Americans love Nando's? It doesn't make any sense to me. Maybe
I have no idea.
Is it because Americans like crap food? Is that it?
It might well be, but actually, you know, our experiences recently in America is that the food's been really good.
Exactly. So why do they like Nando's so much? It's just rubbish.
I disagree that Nando's is rubbish. Nando's is good. Ooh. It's just painfully overpriced.
Overpriced, and I don't think the chicken's actually that good.
For 12, 13 quid for something that I could get in like a Peri Peri Chicken's for 7 quid, and the quality wouldn't be that much worse. It's not as good, but it's, you know, it's not 100% / 50%, whichever way you look at it, worse than it is going to Nando's. So I do think the chicken is decent, but I avoid it as a general rule, because I think if I'm going to pay that, I'd just rather go and eat somewhere proper.
100%. 100%. I think Nando's is painfully overrated by a lot of people. Don't like it. Unless they want to sponsor the podcast, and then I love it. Well done, Nando's.
So good. I'm glad that we're in agreement that we like the London Games.
Let's talk about the rest of the schedule.
A big, big fan, more than anything else. So I have been somebody who has been a real get off my lawn, not fan of it, of when Premier League teams do wacky ways of like announcing new signings or whatever. But have you been following much of how the teams on Twitter and Instagram have been announcing the games?
I mean, I've seen Atlanta Falcons, and us being big Game of Thrones guys, I loved the Atlanta Falcons and the way that they announced theirs. But I haven't seen any of the others, really.
The Falcons one was absolutely superb, from not just because Game of Thrones, very zeitgeist, and it was very well done. But the trolling of Saints fans was just stunning. For the Saints home game at Atlanta, the Game of Thrones bit comes up outside the stadium, and there are Saints fans walking towards the stadium. One of the Saints fans is blindsided by a loose ram, and then a referee runs in and rules them dropping their bags or whatever as incomplete.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And it's just it's the subtlest little, well, it's not so subtle when all of Twitter has spotted it, but it's very, very funny. You know, some of them have been a bit naffer than others. A lot of the Instagram ones, things like it was very funny seeing the difference between both the Eagles and the Titans did the same approach on Instagram, which was have a famous fan of theirs announce 1 week's games. Weirdly, Eric Dyer was one of the ones on the Eagles one on week 8. So he's like, week 8, the Falcons are coming to town or whatever.
Yeah.
But seeing who Philly had as their choices, which was like edgy comedians, hip-hop stars, sports stars from other sports, and then for the Titans, it was basically almost entirely country music stars. which was very, very funny to me. And they had Dolly Parton doing some stuff as well, which was pretty cool.
Dolly's a legend, so yeah.
But, you know, the Packers did this video game thing, and, like, people really, like, even though I was a little bit, I've been negative on this stuff in the past, it was a nice bit of creativity, something a bit different, something a bit fun. I thought it was great. Oh, and then obviously the trolling from the Falcons was good.
Are we seeing a bit of a change in Willie for this next season? Are we seeing a more giving and loving Willie?
A softening Willie.
A softening Willie. Is Willie no longer as hard as he once was? Why am I doing this?
Oh,
I don't know. It's not the sports bar. I can only apologise to all of those out there. The Panthers and the Bucks around the London game announcements was quite funny on Twitter. The Panthers just did a still saying that we're going to be in London facing the Bucks, and then the Bucks replied with a gif of friends going, "London, baby," and then the Panthers replied with another gif of just a guy sort of shooing them away. Not cool, not cool. Which I did love that.
what I will say I did find interesting about the schedule release, because the fact is that there is always too much attention poured over this. The fact that it's so close to the draft makes me think that does it need to have as much attention poured on it? But it's the NFL offseason. They will take any bit of news and really run with it, and I get it. What I did find interesting was the team... What I always find interesting is the teams who have primetime matchups and how many primetime matchups they have. And sometimes they... absolutely screw this. Sometimes they make a complete and utter mess of this. But through no fault of their own, last year the 49ers had four or five primetime games because they were like, oh, Shanahan, Garoppolo, like, you know, exciting stuff, young defense. And then so there were some bad injuries and the 49ers ended up being basically irrelevant. And, you know, things like 49ers Giants that we saw being on a Monday night game was farcical. But it's interesting to see that they've given the Browns four primetime games. That's the OBJ effect, that the Jets have had more primetime games than they've had in the last 3 or 4 years. You'd say that's the Le'Veon Bell effect. That the teams who have five games slated for them, which is the top number that anyone has, you've got some obvious ones in there. The Chiefs, you know, no surprise there. Steelers, the Rams, the Eagles. But then teams like, I think the Vikings was quite interesting to me. The Seahawks was quite interesting to me, considering where they are at the moment. The Packers, I think there's so much intrigue with them and the new head coach and Aaron Rodgers. The Bears and Cowboys, you know, teams who look like they're there or they're about talent-wise, but can they get over the line? That's the thing I find quite interesting with the primetime stuff. That and the fact that they've made a very specific effort to celebrate the 100th anniversary by having one historic matchup per week, which has some kind of relevance to the history of the league, I also thought was quite cool.
Yeah, I mean, they've had enough time to plan all of this. So the fact that they've come up with it is genius, but there's probably been a team of people working around the clock to figure out what's best and where. If you look at, I think it's Brandon Lee Galton from Bleeding Green. We've had him on our TalkSport show a couple of times. He said, again, the Cowboys have played zero Thursday road games on fewer than 7 days rest in this same stretch. The NFL is giving Dallas an unfair advantage by allowing the Cowboys to play at home every year on Thanksgiving. That's quote tweeting afterwards. The Eagles have to face three teams, the Jets, Patriots and Seahawks, coming off their bye week. They have a Thursday road game for the fifth time in the last 6 years. So there is this perception that certain teams get the rub of the green compared to other teams. But you can read into everybody's schedule each year and say, oh, it's like radio presenters, like Adrian Durham or yourself, for instance, every fan thinks that you guys hate their team, and it's just not true.
So ridiculous.
You legitimately only hate the Dallas Cowboys
and Arsenal.
And yeah,
the situation, like, I do find that whole thing hilarious, but I think the NFL do try desperately try to be fair. I saw some 49ers fans complaining about the fact that we've got a week four bye this year, which I hate the week four bye. I think there shouldn't be a bye that early in the season, but I get that they have to schedule them from week four to week 11 or 12, whichever it is, to make sure that everyone gets their bye week without it negatively affecting TV scheduling, everything else. But actually, that's the first time the 49ers have had an early bye in nearly a decade. And last couple of years, we've had a very late bye, which hasn't worked out for us because of injuries, but you prefer a mid to late buy rather than an early buy. So I think they have taken those things into consideration. And also, I think it's only two teams have the week four buy this year. I think it's us and the Jets, I want to say, off the top of my head. I obviously could check that, but I'm just going to try and guess it. But with both teams, they've also been scheduled for a Thursday night game where their game the following week is, say, like a Monday night game. So they've been given like a long week between their Thursday and another game. So they get like a mini bye later in the season. So they've tried desperately to be as fair as possible. And the fact is the Thursday home and away thing could potentially be a legitimate problem. But most of the time, the biggest complaints people have is about how tough their schedule is. Well, The toughness of your schedule is determined by which division you're in, which isn't going to change, is determined by where you finished in your division, which is a sign of success. So all that stuff is nonsense. It's the same every year. You can tell, I can tell you who, you know, 12 of your 15 opponents, 12 of your 13, I think, of your 16 opponents are going to be forever, in perpetuity, until they change the division setup. So get over it. The schedule is what it is. You've got to play to it, and you've got plenty of time to plan for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I cannot agree with you anymore.
Should we talk some Russell Wilson?
I mean, yeah, it was obvious that the guy was going to sign. I mean, there were Seahawks fans petrified that he wasn't, and there was this whole, will he, won't he? He was always going to sign. It was just a matter of how much, and it was always going to be more than Aaron Rodgers, because that's just the way it works.
So a four-year, $140 million deal with $107 million guaranteed. I think it was 70-something-odd fully guaranteed at the top, which surpassed Rodgers' deal of last year. That's the real number to me, is what the fully guaranteed money is. Look, the fact is that, you know, Russell Wilson is a top 5 to 10 quarterback in the NFL, depending on how you feel about his style of play and how it would fit into what you would want from a quarterback. But he wins you games that your team shouldn't necessarily be winning, and that's a huge factor. But equally, we've seen more and more outside of those consistently successful teams like the Patriots, who, you know, we keep asking why more people don't copy the way that they do things. But teams have struggled when quarterbacks have come off their rookie contracts and they've had to, you know, stop paying free agents as much. And I think the same was true when Russell Wilson got his first big contract. They had to let a lot of those defensive linemen go, like Cliff Avril, who we're going to be hearing from in a moment. And you look at the success of the top quarterbacks on an average yearly salary last year getting to the playoffs, and very, very few of the top 10 actually made the playoffs. Drew Brees did. Andrew Luck did. I think that might be it of the top paid quarterbacks from last year. Oh, Russell Wilson, because the Seahawks snuck in. But, you know, it's very difficult to build a team when you're paying one player 30, 33, 28, 27, whatever it is, $1 million per year. It's difficult to build a roster around that. And so whilst you appreciate it's what the Seahawks needed to do, you do then go, well, how successful can they be whilst paying somebody that sort of money?
Yeah, and they're going to have to use the draft well again, but they've got previous of using the draft well, picking up bargains here and there, picking up players.
But then they've not drafted well for 3 or 4 years at least now, so
you say that, but drafting the way that they did last year and still making the playoffs has to be some sort of, you know, that has to be a success.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, the Seahawks were one of my biggest surprises of last year, the way that they performed. Was it? And look, there were some good later round pickups, undoubtedly, but the stuff that they did when Pete Carroll first came in, and those drafts where they brought in a bunch of very successful defensive backs in the 5th, 6th, 7th round, that hasn't happened again since. And it's very difficult to do that, obviously. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not expecting the Seahawks to be going on another Super Bowl run with Russell Wilson as their quarterback, unless they really stun us with a couple of really impressive drafts.
And what's interesting, actually, is
I think Russell Wilson will be a one Super Bowl guy.
Yeah, I think so, given some of the talent that's around there with him at the moment. And the fact that this draft isn't necessarily that laden, with some of the skill positions anyway. And also, the Seahawks don't have a second-round draft pick this season. So that's one less player of absolute quality that they can bring in. But with the undrafted and the late draft picks, you know, it is a lottery, and we talked about that last week.
We've talked about it before with the Seahawks. When Scott McLuhan was there, who is clearly an absolute genius of player evaluation, when he was there in the kind of supporting role, they had 3 or 4 really good drafts in a row. They need to have a couple of really good drafts in the row. And whilst Pete Carroll is obviously a brilliant coach, nobody does what Belichick does in terms of picking up just a guy type players, off the street type players, but that their skill set perfectly fit what they want to do and find exactly their niche in the team and develop them and train them in a way where they can just find somebody who probably wouldn't have a huge amount of success elsewhere, and they do a job for the Patriots. It's very, very difficult to do, and I still believe that we will go for, you know, a period of time where you're going to see teams like the Rams, the Eagles, who have a cheap young quarterback, will have the success, and then that will move on again. There are a few teams out there now, it's got to be said, though, like the Colts, like the 49ers, who actually have both cap space and an expensive quarterback, and it's going to be intriguing to see how those teams do.
Yeah, yeah. And look, just to put a... not a nail in the Seahawks 2019 draft coffin, but they've they've got 4 picks. 1, 3, 4, and 5. 21, 84, 1, 2, 4, 1, 5, 9. That's it. That's it. That's ridiculous that they've only got that amount of those many picks. They traded away their second-round pick to the Houston for Dwayne Brown, the offensive tackle. Their sixth-round pick to Green Bay for Brett Hundley. And their seventh-round pick to the Raiders for... for safety, Shalom Luani. So, they may...
But I tell you, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
But look, that is the other thing that teams like the Patriots are doing very well, and you're seeing it from the Eagles a lot recently as well, is saying, you know what, after the fourth round is such a lottery, and really it's a lottery after the second round, but after the fourth round it's such a lottery, let's use those fifth, sixth, seventh round picks to try and pick up some cheap veterans who can help us this year or next, who, you know, maybe they're paid, their current team has paid a big amount of their guaranteed money already, maybe. And I think, you know, actually horse trading with those later round picks I'm fine with. It's when you're trading away first, seconds, thirds, if you're not getting long term impact from that, at least a player who's going to be starting for you for 3 or so years, then I'd much rather you were drafting a player.
And you can argue that bringing in veterans, quality veterans, helps these undrafted guys and their development, because there is that kind of learning from the best and garnering from their experience and stuff. So yeah, I get it. It's just, if I was a Seahawks fan, I wouldn't necessarily be looking forward to the draft this year that much.
My point is, I don't want to be a naysayer. It's absolutely the right decision to pay Russell Wilson that amount of money. Quarterbacks are probably still underpaid in the wider world of sport, but it does make it difficult to succeed, and that's not me being a 49ers fan having a dig at the Seahawks. That's just a wider observation of how the NFL is working. Yeah, right, mate. Let's hear from Cliff Avril.
Yep.
Defensive end, formerly of the Seattle Seahawks, Super Bowl winner there. Talking with our very own Matt Sherry, Matt went up and spoke with all the guys who are on this current NFL UK tour, and apparently it's been absolutely superb. So, you know, Kurt Warner and I try to think who else
Michael
was
Irvin.
On it. Michael Irving, and but a lot of the stuff that he's talking about has been more historical, and we'll hear those bits at a later date, a couple of projects we're working on. But Cliff Avril, what I love about this from Sherry is this classic Matt Sherry, you know, straight to the point, northern man chat, because there's no fluffing here. There's no, how are you enjoying the UK? Little, like, softball questions. He goes in hard. From moment one.
Hazel Irvin here, and I'm at Mammoth Insurance in Leeds, where Kate has arranged an office chair race to fundraise for Sport Relief. And these riders have got their kit on. They are rearing to go. And they're off. Taking an early lead and smashing injustice right out of the park, it's Daphne from accounting riding the spreadsheet demon chair. Up comes Nina from HR on Beat Me and You're Fired, closely followed by Mark from marketing on the 9-to-5 chair. Even Javid from health and safety's at it, waving his clipboard like crazy. Go easy there, Javid. We don't want any injuries, fella. And from nowhere, it's Jenny on El Chero Loco, rolling right over poverty to cross the line first. And the crowd goes loco. Unbelievable. You can help change the world too. Just get your exclusive Sport Relief merchandise at your nearest Sainsbury's. Sport Relief. It's game on. This message was brought to you by Acast.
Cliff, I want to talk a little bit about the the dynasty that never was in Seattle.
Coming out swinging.
Yeah. No, but it just, it does fascinate me, because the first Super Bowl I ever covered was the one against the Broncos. Okay. And I feel like the feeling inside the press room after that game was, this is a team that is going to win three or four. And why didn't it happen?
I think a lot of things happened with that whole situation, you know, guys getting a little older. I think, you know, the second Super Bowl kind of played a role a little bit as well. But overall, though, you know, I think the run was amazing as far as for what we were able to do collectively as a defense, collectively as a team, you know, because that type of stuff doesn't happen in NFL too often.
Have you ever been in an environment like the one that Pete Carroll creates in terms of, you know, the competition days during the week in practice? He seems to just create this crazy environment for guys.
Yeah, no, I've never, ever, since playing ball, you know, in high school on up, I've never been around a coach that had that approach to the game. But not only was it the competitive, it's kind of like a psychological thing, too, because it's not only that it's a competitive environment, but it's also fun. Like, typically when you think of competition, you think of, oh my gosh, it's, you know, it's nonstop work and it's hard. And it's like, it's fun in the midst of it as well, you know, and it's competing at everything, you know, competing to who can get to meetings first, competing who can, you know, shoot hoops in 30 seconds the most. So he always keeps you in a competitive mode, but it's also fun at the same time. So I thought that was pretty cool of Coach Carroll.
I was writing a bit recently about the steel curtain defense, and people remember the defensive line and kind of forget the amazing linebackers, the great cornerbacks. It's a little bit similar with the Legion of Boom, isn't it? The opposite, you know, people forget Michael Bennett, Cliff Avril, Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright. You know, what was it like to be on a defense that good at all three levels? Because particularly in the free agency era NFL, it's rare that we're going to get units like that.
It's going to be very difficult for them to be able to replicate something like that. But, you know, to be a part of a defense like that where so much talent, it was so fun. But the talent is what allowed us to thrive, too, because if Richard Sherman's playing well, it forced me to play well. If Michael Bennett's playing well, it forced Bobby Wagner to play well, you know. And nobody wanted to be the weakest link. Everybody wanted to, you know, nobody wanted to drag the other person down, you know. So I wanted to go out there and ball out because I knew Sherm had my back, because I know Cam had my back. So what we had was very special, and it'd be very, very hard to replicate in this era of football, like you just said.
How difficult was the goal line call in terms of getting over it in the locker room? Because it did feel like that moment perhaps did change the course of history, not just in that game, but as we've said, potentially down the line as well.
You know what? When I was going through it, I didn't think nothing of it. You know, for me, it was like, man, we made it to the Super Bowl. We can get back. You know, Lord willing, guys can stay healthy. I didn't think about it. But looking, you know, being removed from it for 4 years now, and listening to the media a little bit, listening to what some of the guys are saying, I could see that have probably played a big a little bit of a role of why guys kind of why we didn't get back again, you know. And but again, like I said, when I was in the midst of it, I just thought we were going to get back. But, you know, injuries and different things like that started happening.
Do you think actually in hindsight it was the right call? Because there's debate, but New England did have extremely heavy personnel on the field, and realistically they showed a defense kind of half nickel, half heavy personnel that they'd never shown before. It felt like with the package that was on the field, actually the run would have perhaps gone for minus 1 yards anyway.
Yeah, but you got beast mode. But that being said, though, honestly, I've never questioned Coach Carroll, even to this day. I never questioned him as far as for his play calling on defense or offense. Because at the end of the day, you know, for the players on defense, we were fans at the moment, right? We're like, oh, they have to run it. They have to run it. Oh, wait up, we're throwing it. Oh, my gosh. You know, so the same reaction, but we never questioned any of the other calls, right? We never questioned any of the calls in the first quarter or anything like that, or even during the season. So for me, it was just more of a, you know, if he catches that, then nobody even thinks about the run, you know? So it's a catch-22.
Just on that Super Bowl, though, it's the best Super Bowl I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the best Super Bowl I've ever seen because it's one of the few times I can look at it and say, without question, the best two teams in the league that year were on the field. And does it feel like that?
Which one? Both of them, or the one against New England?
Definitely New England, because I thought New England were a better
team. I would agree. I would even say the one we won as well, because if you think about it, with the Peyton Manning situation at that time, they had the most prolific offense ever. You know, and we shut that down. And then playing against Brady, so we played against arguably the top two best quarterbacks in the last, you know, decade and some change. It was definitely the best two teams out there, and it became a chess game. It became a chess game and seeing who can make what moves, and not necessarily this play, but, you know, think about, you know, three or four plays later and how you can play it.
As a former Seahawk, what did you think of the news this week on And the way it was announced was
that thing went viral, man. You know what? I'm happy for Russ. I'm happy for Russ. I'm happy for Sierra. I'm happy for their family. He deserves it, man. You know, this guy, he hasn't missed one start in 7 years. He's, you know, a 5-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champ. I mean, he has every single accolade that all these other quarterbacks that are the top paid don't have, except for Aaron Rodgers, you know, and so he deserves every bit of it. And the big question mark was, hey, you know, what is he going to do without a defense? Because, you know, fortunately for him, he had a pretty solid defense the first few years of his career. And then last year, he goes out there and balls out, gets you 10 wins, you know, and so he knows how to win games. And I have nothing but respect for Russell, and he definitely deserves it. Let me borrow a dollar now, Russ.
Have you ever had a quarterback you are more confident in with 2 minutes left in the game on your team? I mean, I remember in his rookie season against the Bears at Soldier Field, I think it was, mm-hmm. when he drove you guys down the field. I think it was his rookie season at the end of the year. And he just seems like he had so many moments like that in his career. And and even that Super Bowl against the Patriots, he'd driven you kind of right to the goal line as well.
Exactly. I mean, that's the one thing about him that I don't think people give him enough credit for, is because he really has the attitude of, even if he throws an interception, even if he throws a touchdown, it's starting all over again. You know, I remember the Green Bay game, our second Super Bowl year. I believe he threw 4 or 5 interceptions that game, right? And still in the fourth quarter, he found a way to be able to go back down the field and score touchdowns. And to be honest with you, most quarterbacks, most players, example, if I jumped off sides 3 times, my get off, my, like, I'm done for the game, because, you know, I'm afraid of, you know, taking that risk. Most people tank after something like that. Not him. You know, he just puts it behind him and keeps thriving. So, again, you know, I have nothing but respect for his mental strength more so than anything.
And as a guy now looking back, do you kind of see the blueprint of what Pete Carroll did with you guys, them trying to follow it? Does it feel like they've almost rebooted? Russ is obviously the constant, but it does feel like they're in that reboot phase and trying to create the same.
Well, I wouldn't even say it's a reboot phase, right? Because when he really just started in Seattle, he didn't have a quarterback. He didn't have the one of the best linebackers in the league. He had nothing. You know, people were saying this last year, oh, it's a reboot stage or a rebuild stage this year. And I'm like, how do you rebuild when you have one of the most elite quarterbacks in the NFL? How do you rebuild when you have arguably the best linebacker in the NFL? Both sides, that's the quarterback for both sides of your offense and defense. So it wasn't a rebuild year. It was more so just find players that can fit in the scheme, and these other guys will lead you to wins.
That's perfect. Thanks very much, man.
Yes, sir. No problem.
Matt Sherry speaking with Cliff Avril, formerly the Seattle Seahawks. Hey, Willie. I think that's everything we need to talk about today.
Lots of
draft stuff coming up, but is there anything else you want to touch on?
I don't think so. Did we talk about Aaron Rodgers, the Aaron Rodgers expose? We didn't really, but maybe we do that at some other time. Maybe we get the guy on. That would be good.
Yeah, I think that could be something we do in the off season post draft, and maybe we look at the situation that they're in after the draft. Fact is that we've had these draft pods and stuff like that that have been taking up the time, but it's been a much more relaxed take on the off season, and I think there's no problem with that. Nobody's been massively complaining. Maybe I'd like them to complain more. Maybe I'd like to hear more on Twitter. Where's the latest podcast?
I don't at Will Gav if you want to though. I don't want to hear it. don't at me in it. At Will Gav.
At Ollie Hunter, always at Ollie Hunter.
All right,
or
mate.
Talk Hunts, as he's going to change it to.
just following your lead, Talk Gav.
So, Ollie, any final thoughts?
I think I'm going to go and see if Grimble will do us a final Grimble thought.
Great. Always appreciated when Gribble gets involved.
Always. All right. Love you lots, buddy.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much for listening. At Gridiron on Twitter and Instagram. Go there and you can find the Cliff Averill videos that go with the interview you'll have heard on this show. Otherwise, thank you so much for listening. This has been The Gridiron Show.
All right, mate. Well done. I'll text you about that that other rights chat.
Hazel Irvin here, and I'm at Mammoth Insurance in Leeds, where Kate has arranged an office chair race to fundraise for Sport Relief. And these riders have got their kit on. They are rearing to go. And they're off. Taking an early lead and smashing injustice right out of the park, it's Daphne from accounting riding the spreadsheet demon chair. Up comes Nina from HR on Beat Me and You're Fired, closely followed by Mark from marketing on the 9-to-5 chair. Even Javid from health and safety's at it, waving his clipboard like crazy. Go easy there, Javid. We don't want any injuries, fella. And from nowhere, it's Jenny on El Cerro Loco, rolling right over poverty to cross the line first. And the crowd goes loco. Unbelievable. You can help change the world too. Just order your free fundraising pack at sportrelief.com. Sport Relief. It's game on. This message was brought to you by Acast.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.